Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.
I want winners.
Everybody, it's me, it's Mr. FSP. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. And just like Mike Singletary said, I want winners. Mr. FSP feels as though the Redskins found themselves a winner. Because all he does is win, 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 no matter what. Now, the money's coming out of Daniel Snyder's pocket. And we know that he has endless pockets, so we'll see what happens. Welcome to the show. I have one of my co-hosts who normally doesn't pop in early. He pops in like maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes in the show. But when I came to the studio, he was already in, ready to go all in, I believe, just like the Skins. It's Black the Bookie. What's going on, Black?
Ready to go all in like Jeff Fisher.
Like Jeff Fisher, or are you talking about Daniel Snyder? Because what did Jeff Fisher do? What did Jeff do, Mr. Fisher do?
Jeff provided the anal ease for Daniel Snyder to make such a move. Wow. I cannot believe Daniel Snyder did such a thing.
Okay. I'm going to get your viewpoint on this, but let me go over what's going to happen today on the show first before we go into the anal ease. You have problems, boy. On this episode of FSP, we will cover the trade, because that's what it's called now, the trade the Redskins made with the Rams, giving the Skins the rights to draft RG3. My question is, will they or will they not use it to bargain with Cleveland and get 2 first-rounders this year and a few other picks coming up this draft and maybe next draft. Some people say I'm crazy for doing that or thinking that, but you never know with Daniel Snyder. Manning visits the Denver Broncos, and if Manning does sign with Denver, where does Tebow go? What happens to Tebow? And are KC, Miami, and Arizona still in the mix? We'll talk about it. We'll even hear from Devon Bess down there in Miami talking about playing with Peyton Manning if it were to happen. Is Mark Sanchez worth $40 million in guaranteed money?
No.
The gentleman still had 1 or 2 years left on his contract. They added 3 more, making it a 5-year deal. At over $40.5 million. Is he worth it? We'll hear from Mike Tannenbaum of the Jets, and hopefully Jerry, to find out what the thinking was with this signing or extension, and are they out of the race, hunting for Manning? Also, if you haven't heard, there was a controversy with Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks. Mark Cuban had printed up a statement, what have you, and ESPN actually removed it because it was pretty much a gay bash. I'm going to read to you, if you don't know about Mark Cuban's blog, I'm going to read to you Mark Cuban's blog on the topic, is he a homophobe? So we'll get into that if you haven't gotten into that topic. And we got a whole bunch in store. We're going to hear from Kevin Sheehan, who is a Washington Redskin reporter on ESPN 980. It's a radio station formerly known as Redskin Radio and things of that nature. But right now I'm going to bring in my cousin from the 240. What's up, Mr. Moore?
What's up, sir? They got rid of Redskins Radio soon?
Huh?
They got rid of Redskins Radio?
I didn't say you run. No. ESPN 980 was known prior to ESPN buying them as, I guess, Danny Snyder owned them. And I it was just, you know, they talked nothing about the Redskins.
Yeah, no, uh-huh. He still owns it.
I thought he sold it to ESPN. That's how ESPN got the rights to be, or at least they own the rights.
They partnered with him.
Okay.
ESPN partnered with him. You know, Dan ain't gonna give up no money like that. I thought you was telling me something. I was like, hold up.
Nah.
It's always been a partnership.
All right. I want to say this. We're missing Mr. Taylor because I know he's not happy about the deal that Mark Sanchez got, but I didn't think he was going to
get
the show.
What did he get?
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Well,
Sanchez got a $100 million contract with him.
Sanchez got a $100 million contract.
Not quite.
I know it's not quite, but I know it's probably broken down. And it's like in, 5 years, $100 million, something like that.
No.
Black's
being a little facetious. What happens is Mark Sanchez and the Jets agreed to terms and signed an extension. He was in his last 2 years of his contract. And they gave him an extra $40.5 million over the next 3 years.
Over the next 3 years?
Yeah, so it's a total.
It's
a 5-year contract, but it's going to take him over to $40.5 million.
How much does signing bonus guaranteed did he get?
The 40.5 is guaranteed.
Man.
Okay.
Looks like Jeff Fisher sent that anal ease up north, man.
Silence, punk. Let's hear from the Jets organization. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I hit the wrong button for a second. Let's hear from Mr. Tannenbaum about this extension on Mark Sanchez.
This closes the door on the idea that Peyton Manning could come to New York and play for the Jets. The Jets obviously close in on this extension for Mark Sanchez that will pay him roughly $58.5 million, roughly seventh highest among the NFL. Chris Mortensen had that information a short time ago, and this is something that the Jets want to get taken care of, helps out their salary cap situation, and it ties Mark Sanchez to the franchise long term.
Of course, that was not Mike Tannenbaum, that was Adam Schefter of ESPN. But speak of the devil, we just got the dude of New Jersey just chimed in. And I also think I've got the Jamaican on the line. But let me introduce ATM. And no, I'm not the new ATM. He's still the ATM, Jerry Taylor, on the line. What's up, JT?
The tide is changing. You are the up-and-coming ATM. You will be the ATM.
Whatever. $400 versus $35. You make your call. But let me see if this is
more than that, but that's okay.
Let me see if this is Rick, and then I'm gonna let you go ahead and talk about your Jets signing Sanchez, all that money. And we also have legendary. We have another caller in the chat room, on the line. So I'm going to hold off on him. Let me see if this is Rick I'm bringing in. Call from 202. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Is this my boy Rick? Call from 202. 384.
Yeah.
Yes. Please state your name. Yes.
Oh, this is Matt.
How you doing, Matt? I'm sorry. I thought you were one of our other co-hosts. But thanks for calling in.
Nah.
What's going on, Mike? This is Mike from the Goodman League, right?
Hey, what's up, Black?
What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? Nothing but the rusty skins. That's what's going on.
Nothing but the rusty skins. I tell you what.
Rusty. I said rusty ass.
I heard.
I just want to be plain with it.
Oh, my God.
Because Black knows me. Black, what you know about me? Am I notorious on Facebook and everywhere else?
They're going to say what it is.
Hey, do what you got to do, bro. We're not going to be PC today because I got something to say about it, too. But right now we're talking about this Mark Sanchez deal, and I'm going to let Jerry talk about his beloved Jets and why they would do this. And after that, I'm going to play a soundbite about why it was important. Are the Jets still in the hunt for Peyton Manning, which they probably aren't, but we'll see what they have to say. Jerry, you have the floor.
No, the Jets are not in the hunt, obviously, since they did this to this, along with a number of soft USC-type players, specifically quarterbacks from USC. They stroked this guy. This is like finger-popping, if I'm looking at this guy. I can't believe they extended this guy. I'm thoroughly disappointed. They this is supposedly a apology type of thing. Sorry for saying or giving the indication that we were going to Peyton Manning. This guy is so soft. I'm totally down on Mark Sanchez. I'm totally disappointed in my team for doing this.
Jerry, how could you talk so bad about your quarterback, man?
That's what I was saying. How you do that?
How you do that one? At the end of last year, I told you guys I was thoroughly down on this guy. This is not the guy for this team. And they extended this guy's contract. So me being as a Jets fan for over 44 years, and any other Jets fans should be thoroughly disappointed in doing this. And who knows who they're going to bring in. They're going to bring in a quarterback that's not going to be competing for the job, quite obviously, because they just said that Mark Sanchez is the franchise quarterback. You are going to be the backup.
Wow. Well,
New York,
okay.
You're terrible, man.
Well, they New are. And if you heard what LaDainian Tomlinson said with Rich Eisen's podcast, he said, you know, if Manning were to go there, he would most definitely love to go there. If he went to Miami, he would love to go there. But there's some issues between Sanchez and San Antonio Holmes, whereas Sanchez is doing what he's taught. Holmes wants him to be more of a creator and develop things. The money says, shut up, San Antonio. Here's your quarterback. Work with him. But let me bring in this legendary Super Saiyan on the line. Before I let Matt talk and before I get into the other soundbite, Mr. Super Saiyan, please state your real name and welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Super Saiyan. Hello.
It's Dan.
I'm from Springfield.
Hello.
Springfield,
okay. How you doing?
I got an 8-inch cock that's fat. It's better than my hand right now, and it's getting hot.
You're cracking up really bad, my friend. I'm going to have to let you go because I cannot hear you at all.
It was deep throat.
Well, it's gone. Deep throat is gone. Sorry, Mr. Super Saiyan. All right, so, Matt, what do you think about that deal for Mark Sanchez? Do you think he's worth the money?
Well, Black know this. I'm a lifelong born and raised Detroit Lions fan. I'm a Detroit fan, period. So I kind of know a little bit about
suffering.
You know, finding a good quarterback. I personally think.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying I know a little bit about struggling to find the right quarterback.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that only thing I'll say is this. Sanchez has proven, as far as they've gotten in the last few years, that he can do it. I think it's okay to extend him because I mean, you, it ain't like you got something better. Even if you get Peyton, you only got him for 3 years. I mean, and then all you're going to do is piss Sanchez off. He's going to leave, and then you don't know when you're going to find another quarterback. Great quarterbacks don't grow on trees. Yeah, Sanchez is a little soft. Yeah, he's a little nervous or whatever. But, hey, I only point to this. Look at San Francisco with that bum quarterback they had. Look at the year he just had. Sometimes the atmosphere, sometimes putting the right people around him, sometimes having the right coach and the right system can
right
make
system.
An average quarterback look good. And how long has that dude been around? Way longer than Sanchez has been around. He was a complete bum until they changed coaches and got philosophy. So I think it's cool to extend him, you know, and see what he does. Put the pressure on him. If he ain't the guy, then get rid of him. But you got to give guys a chance in this league because every quarterback ain't going to just land on the ground and hit the ground running. I mean, there ain't a whole bunch of Cam Newton. There ain't a whole bunch of, you know, other guys that can just come in and just, boom, just turn the light
off.
And then it all
right.
depends on your offense, too. So,
I agree with you.
I mean,
110% on that.
Let's look at where they've been the last, what? Sanchez's been in the league now, what, 3-4 years?
3 years, 2 AFC championship games, 1 subpar year.
So what does that tell you? That tells you that basically you either need to get rid of some, take away some, get some other parts around him, or you need one piece that may put you over the hump. That doesn't tell you that the guy's a failure if you've been to 2 AFC championships. That just means you need to make adjustments until it comes right.
Well,
I
agree with you, and I said this during the year, and Jerry kind of, you know, backed it up because he's a Jets fan. Their running game was porous this year. It was extremely bad, and the 2 prior years, they relied heavily on the run, and that's kind of hid the deficiencies of Mark Sanchez. But it is what it is. And here's a report on whether the Jets are still going to go after Manning or not. I know Jerry said they're not, but let's see.
When Peyton Manning, a first ballot Hall of Famer, became available, just like I do every day, and I'm committed to it, you know, we looked into, you know, that possibility as someone to add to this to our team. And we looked at it. We had discussion internally. We've monitored the situation.
So the Jets are still monitoring the situation, not saying it won't happen, but with the type of money that they just gave Sanchez, it will be the equivalent of the Colts situation. You can't tie up so much money in both situations.
I would say he's not coming. I mean, that's the definite. I bet my paycheck on that. He ain't coming. You don't give that kind of money to a young kid, and you're not going to pay him that kind of money. I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
You're not going to give a guy that kind of money and have him sitting on the bench and then let another guy, you're going to have to pay a good gob of money to play. It's not going to happen. I agree with my man from New York. It's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, you never know. I agree. I don't think that Manning is anywhere near New York. But in the NFL, they say not for long, but I say never say never, for real, because crazy things have happened. I know everybody wants to talk about the Redskins and the Rams trade and Black with his Jeff Fisher anal ooze or anal ease thing. So we're going to hold off on that just for 1 sec, okay? I got a couple other things we got to talk about. Since we're on the Manning subject, I want to bring in Devon Best of the Miami Dolphins. Devon said, you know, he wouldn't mind playing with Peyton and being second fiddle.
It'd be an honor. You know, obviously, you know, he's a great, great leader. You know, he's proven. He's obviously been around the game for a very long time. So it'd be an honor to play for him, play with him.
You notice I said play for him, and then he said play with him. Because if he goes down to MIA and your boy Reggie Wayne, who wants to be down in the Miami area anyway, comes and plays, it will be Marshall, Wayne, Bess, and whoever the other receiver is, with a young Anthony Fasano, and maybe even Dallas Clark. Because why did the Colts cut Dallas Clark? Is it just because he's not old in the tooth? Is it because he was Peyton Manning's friend? That was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. I think we lost Jerry. That was one of the dumbest things I've seen, cutting Dallas Clark. I mean, I know he's coming off an injury and all, but talk to me, fellas. Why would that happen?
You still got Kim's play toy down there, too, to run the ball.
Yeah. I mean,
Kim Kardashian, so I mean, you got a running back. You got Reggie Bush, too. So, I mean, to me, I think the destination will probably end up being, I would say, Miami and the Cardinals. That's the two, I think. You know, but as far as...
Yeah, I think it's going to be Miami and the Cardinals, too.
Yeah, that's what I think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be nowhere else. I think everybody else, he's just pulling their string. What I really thought y'all was going to talk about is the fact that Peyton went down to Denver. And Elway's horse mouth sitting up there smiling, you know, completely disrespecting, you know, the kid. And I said yesterday on Facebook, if they let go of him, they're gonna regret that one.
I think that's a good scenario you throw out there, because if you're John Elway and you get Peyton Manning, you can get rid of the kid. You can get rid of the headache that you've been trying to get rid of. So I can go with that.
I'll be honest with you. If I may be allowed to elaborate just for 60 seconds.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna tell you why I think the kid is a good bet. One, because he works hard. I don't care what nobody say. The boy works hard. The boy is overcome. Every time people told him he can't do something, he do it. So the kid is always used to be driven. He's down there working on his game in the summer. And I think a lot of people don't consider the fact that last year he couldn't work with nobody. So this year everybody criticized him, and I was like, but he didn't have an off season. He couldn't even see nobody because of the strike. So give him a full summer, let him come back, improve and prove it again, you know. And I'll take that over 3 years of Peyton Manning any day, because Peyton Manning's not a 20-something-year-old. He's a 35 years old. And if he ever gets hit again or something, you're done. And you've let this kid go who's the upside on for this guy who's long in the tooth. No disrespect to Peyton Manning, because it's a great addition, but I just don't think it's a good bet as far as long-term and trying to win some things down the road when this man is going to be sitting there rocking on his
feet. Let me respond to you, because, you know, we've talked extensively about Tebow, and, you know, I've said kind of the same things that you said about Tebow before this issue came about. I agree with you that, of course, that Tebow would be better in the long run, but I'm speaking in when I made that suggestion and when I made that comment, I was talking from John Elway's perspective. He don't like the kid.
No, I don't care.
He don't like the kid. He don't like the kid.
Right.
Everybody know. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I don't care how good Youngin did. Youngin made them all look bad. So they had to get behind him last year. So, you know what I'm saying? I would be down to watch him grind it out like that. But that would be a good out for Elway. If he could pull off getting Manning in there, it could give him a good reason to get rid of Youngin, because he don't want it.
Right.
He don't.
But I also think that they're going to set themselves up for disaster when he's
in the long run. Yeah, in the long run. I agree with you, Matt. I mean, I agree with you both, actually. But, you know, in the long run, you got to think about a couple years down the road, okay, who's coming out in 2 or 3 years?
You got Peyton now in there running your offense around, and he gets you the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, whatever he does with Tebow is clean.
Here's the deal. I got to play this sound by Brian Greasy, but I want you to think about this as I'm playing it. Okay, he goes to the AFC West. They automatically win the West. The Raiders, okay, maybe. The Chiefs, they need a quarterback, and they're in the hunt for Peyton Manning as well, and they have more weapons and a better defense. Then you've got the Chargers, who, as long as they keep North Turner, they're not going to do that much. I mean, just think about that possibility. But here's Brian Greasy on Peyton Manning and the Broncos.
They have the kind of offensive talent that would make Peyton Manning comfortable. You look at Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. Julius Thomas, who didn't play a whole lot last year as a tight end because he's a receiving type of tight end, but that could play a little bit of that Dallas Clark role. I think John Elway's going to talk to him about going out and getting a young back in the draft or getting one in free agency to complement Willis McGahee.
So, this and this is Brian Greasy, one of the people last year who were supportive of Tim Tebow. And remember those folks that put up the sign telling John Fox to start Tebow? Well, those same people put an ad up that said, we want you to vote on who to have, either Manning or Tebow. So here's his scenario. Tebow sells the most jerseys in the NFL last year. Mm-hmm. Still does it now. Okay? Manning is beloved, a proven winner, can go win, run a system that, as Greasy said, he's somewhat familiar with, and get a running back that will complement Willis McGahee. You got young receivers there. All right? Mm-hmm. Maybe one or two people follow Manning to Denver. I'm quite sure a lot of folks would love to. But how much sense does it make for him to go to Denver and try to win a Super Bowl, even though I would say they will automatically win the AFC West? They will become the favorites, period, because of what Manning does. What about him going to Tennessee? I know that it's kind of a long shot, but you got Chris Johnson, you got a young set of receivers, a defense that needs a little help, but the state loves him. He gets to play the Colts twice. He plays Houston, and he also plays who else is in the South? Jacksonville.
Colts.
So that's
Colts.
Yeah, I said the Colts twice. So he gets a chance to win that division still, and he gets to play against teams that he already knows. I mean, there are so many possibilities, and they need a quarterback. Even though Locker is who they drafted for the future, I would rather learn behind Manning than Hasselbeck any day. And I don't think Hasselbeck got re-signed, if I'm not mistaken. So Okay. Just throwing that out there for you guys to talk about. I haven't heard from Black and Jerry in a minute, so I'm going to let you guys comment on that. And I'm going to try to see if Deep Throat, a.k.a. Mr. Super Saiyan, is going to say something serious on the line. Go ahead, Black.
I don't see why they can't coexist. Tebow is a very humble kid, a very, very humble kid. He got his chance to sign last year, but you're talking about a Hall of Famer coming in?
Right.
I
agree with you. My statement, if you remember, my statement wasn't if they get Peyton, you know, they're going to regret it being with Tebow. Tebow's going to accept it either way.
If I'm able to get Manning, I will also
keep Tebow. But I believe in what my man said, though, is that if they get Peyton Manning, they're not going to – Tebow's deal is going to run out before Peyton does.
Correct.
So what I'm saying is you can keep Tim Tebow. I never said they can't coexist because Tim Tebow going to make it work regardless because he believes in authority and doing what his authority says. That's him. But and I don't doubt it's that. What I'm saying is if they get rid of him, they're going to regret it, and I don't think they're going to keep him around with Manning because they're going to have to make a decision on whether to pay him or get rid of him and get somebody else, and I think that's going to be where John Elway is going to make a mistake.
Well, I want to jump in here. I got to jump in here.
Go ahead.
The NFL is a win-now league. You grab Peyton Manning and win now. Peyton Manning is a coach on the field. Regardless if Tim Tebow stays there or they get another quarterback, Peyton Manning supposedly is going to be there for 2 to 3 years. He'll be able to groom whoever is behind him to take over, just like the Packers situation, just like the Niners situation when they had star quarterbacks, and then the guy who sat behind him for a few years took over and was able to excel. So I think that's the type of scenario, regardless of where Peyton Manning goes, that team is going to set up. They're going to set up the same type of scenario. They're going to have a veteran Hall of Fame quarterback, just like Peyton Manning, and along with him performing on the field, he grooms and a kid behind him watches a pro work and learns. So when his time comes, he'll be able to excel for the same team.
All right.
I agree.
Now, listen, guys. There is nothing saying that you can have two good quarterbacks in the NFL on the same roster. So you can do a Montana Young thing, or, you know, you have a good understudy and prepare for the future. The problem in Denver would be you would always have that, okay, well, let's say things aren't working well and Manning does get hurt. You bring in Tebow, and maybe that magic happens again, and then you have those people say you never should have got Manning in the first place. I agree with Matt. I think he's going to head to Miami. Arizona probably is a good place to fit, because if you put Reggie Wayne and Larry Fitzgerald together, and
yep.
Beanie Wells has a decent year, and that defense
yep.
decides to play, Arizona could scare people in the West, because the West is kind of weak. Even Brandon Lloyd said on NFL 32 that you put him and Fitz together, or him, Wayne, and Fitz together, and Manning there, it would be scary because they could run all over the NFC West. But
the thing with that is that Archie Manning's not going for that, because you won't be able to have a Manning versus Manning.
So I got you. I got you, Mr. Marshall Faulk. I got you. But Peyton said if the money's right. Peyton said if the money is right, then it could happen. It would not happen in D.C. because that would ultimately kill that.
I don't think that's the point. I don't think that he's all about money. I think he's about, in this point in his life, he's about it getting into a good situation that he'll be able to be in position to get into a Super Bowl. And the ultimate would be in a Super Bowl against his brother. So
right.
I think he's not worried. I wouldn't say he's not worried about the money. You can't insult him with a low ball figure. But I think he's trying to get into the optimum situation because he knows he's only got a certain amount of years left to have a chance to get into the Super Bowl again. And
I think
agree. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, he just wants to be in a winning situation. I don't think the money matters because a guy like him saves his money. Trust me, he ain't out blinging. So
I'm not saying that, you know, it's about the money. I mean, he just left a waiter a $200 tip on a $700 bill. I don't know if you guys saw that, where the waiter posted the receipt online or whatever. But there's a lot of things going on there. I got two callers, and then I'm going to switch gears real quick. And trust me, we're going to get to the Redskins trade. Just bear with
me.
Just hold on. Let me see what I got
the
on the line. Hey, just hold off. Hold off, guys. Hold off. Let me get these calls in real quick. All right, Super
Kermit
Saiyan.
The Frog comes to D.C.
Super Saiyan, I'm going to let you get another shot at it. We had some technical difficulties. Go ahead and say what you had to say, and we're going to keep it moving, all right?
Judah, really worship my cock.
I think you're done, son. Now we got a caller from Skype. I believe it's Mike Knox, and I'm going to let him roll. Hold on real quick. Caller from Skype.
I can't believe you let that dude back on, man. You knew me.
I was trying to be a nice guy.
Sometimes you can't be.
I know. Caller from Skype. Please state your name.
You know what, man? I love the fact that
it's Mike Knox.
Like, it ain't Mike Knox. It's been like 30 years since I've been up on here, and the fact that this blockbuster move just came through with the Skins, the joint is all of a sudden out there. You know what I'm saying? But everybody's talking about RG3, which is great. But you know what? The shenanigans is going to freak y'all out, because if the boy go out there and get Tannehill, what you going to do?
Now, listen. Okay, Ricky, I'm
going
to
do it.
He's not going out getting Tannehill, Slim.
Truthfully, I really don't care what the cousin got to say right now. But what I'm saying is, what are you going to do if the boy goes out there and get the guy that he coached in the Senior Bowl?
let's think about it, man.
Wheaton, Brandon Wheaton.
I understand. We're going to get to that later.
Trying to defend what I say.
I'm not trying to defend my sense of humor. I'm not trying to convince you I'm not a homophobe. I'm not trying to just justify anything at all. Good Lord, he went on for another three paragraphs. I guess what I'm doing is admitting that at some level I am prejudiced and that I recognize that I am. There are a lot of things in my life that I need to improve at. This is one of them. Sometimes I make stupid throwaway comments that I quickly realize are wrong. It doesn't happen often, but it happens. It was a mistake, and I realized it. I learned from it. I'm the last to be politically correct, and the last thing I'm trying to do be here is politically correct. I honestly don't give a shit what you think about me, but I think being the person I want to be includes not blurting out throwaway jokes about sexuality, race, ethnicity, size, disability, or other things people have no say in about themselves. I'm the guy who still feels bad about punching Michael Cooper in the stomach in sixth grade purely because he was overweight, even though I made the point to apologize to him when I ran into him at a reunion years later. Even if I don't care about you, it doesn't matter. I'm okay with making you uncomfortable or upset with a comment that references anything that is out of your control. That is not the person I want to be. I'm happy to pick on you if you root for the wrong team. I'm happy to pick on you if you think doing the wave is cool. I'm happy to pick on you for a lot of reasons. Your sexuality should never be one of them. I like who I am. I love my life. But that doesn't mean I won't always try to be a better version of me. And, yes, I feel better having written this blog post. All right.
That's the most dysfunctional blog post I've ever heard.
Huh?
That is the most dysfunctional blog post I've ever heard. If there is one post that I've ever seen where a guy talks out both sides of his mouth and is lying through his teeth, it's that.
Exactly.
You can't, what he just said was muddled mishmash. This dude was eating pizza and drinking beer too late at night, and he wrote this blog post. You can't say things like that and then say, well, I really don't give a F. That was the cover of the fact that, yeah, you do, because you're writing it. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer, Black knows me. I don't believe in apologize. I apologize when I'm wrong or I say something wrong. I'm a straight up guy. But if I say something to you, I'm not a big apologizer because I know that what I usually say is what I really feel. But people who apologize only because they're afraid of losing something or not getting something or being perceived as something and they're afraid of it. So they apologize. Which really to me, I can't respect anybody who does this, like all these athletes who apologize. You're only apologizing because you don't want to lose your endorsements, you don't want to get kicked off the team, you don't want people to not like you. You know, for me, I like the guy like Charles Barkley. That's why I've always respected him. He says what he says. He don't back down off of it. He means what he says, right or wrong. I can live with that, but don't give the phony apology and a phony blog post saying, I'm really not a bad guy, and I really don't give a care about you. But then I want to clarify, you can't do that, man. That dude's dysfunctional.
Okay.
Three different ways with that one. I would hate to see him sit down and write a blog post.
You can't do that, man.
When Jeff Fisher and Daniel Snyder on the tip case.
Wow. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that, dude. We're going to get to that. Anybody else
can I comment on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a comment. That's all from a guy that making millions of dollars.
Billions.
And happens to be of a certain persuasion that they think they can say anything they want, walk on water, and not suffer any repercussions. Because they got the money, they got the clout, and also from a guy who was, I don't know if he still is, trying to buy a Major League Baseball team.
Right. He was in the market for a team, and I know that right now that's not happening, but he's still looking into it. But, the reason why I brought it up is because Mark Cuban is one of the supposed regular Joe owners. What I mean by
that.
Well, just listen. Can I get it out? Can I get it out?
Get it out.
It's my point of view. he sits in the stands. He acts like a jerk, just like the regular Joe that hates the call of the ref or whatever case may be. He comes across as that type of individual. Now, listen, I don't know how many of you guys, subscribe to his blog. I do. And then this blog is the only one I brought on the air because it was a controversial thing. His normal blogs are about advice and how to help people and do certain things. And you know, he doesn't charge people for stuff like that. I mean, I don't know him personally. I do not know him personally. But from the blogs that he does put out, either he's telling people ways to do things or he's saying, look, maybe if the economy's this bad, you can do this and stop complaining about it. I mean, he's had a lot of different viewpoints expressed that I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe not all owners are this crazy. I mean, him and Jim Irsay are on Twitter talking about, you know, regular Joe stuff, except Irsay talking about, like, cowboy jeans and singing songs, but I ain't getting into that. To me, Cuban is an average. And, right, each one of us, no matter who we are, has some type of prejudice, whether it's for a team, whether it's for a person or a group of people. And to some extent, we are a little prejudiced. So I can agree with them on that. But that's all I wanted to say about it. Anybody got anything else they want to say about the Mark Cuban situation?
I'd like to say one thing. For one, I'd just like to say this for the listeners and for other people. This is one thing that bothers me is that, and this article illustrates, is that people saying how they feel about something or people speaking the truth about something is not hate speech.
Correct.
Your belief is not hate speech. And I'm so sick and tired of people saying, you know, well, you're a homophobe if you don't believe in the gay lifestyle. I'm not a homophobe. I don't hate you. You know, black know me. I'm a Christian. I don't care what you do. Your sexuality, I know what God told me to do is to love you and respect you. It's not mm-hmm. my place to beat you down and tell you shouldn't be gay. What my job is to live out my lifestyle and make it attractive to those people. That's how you draw. But what bothers me is that when people ask a Christian or somebody or anybody who says anything, ask you a gotcha question like about gay stuff, and you are against it or you sound like I don't believe in that, people go, oh, my God, it's hate speech. It's not hate speech. It's called that's what I believe. It's, you know, that's not hate speech. And the only other thing I'll say is this, is that, you know, you have to speak your mind and tell the truth of who you are. And to be honest with you, I believe everybody, unless you're putting on an act or you're putting on airs, is exactly who you are. But remember this, money makes you more of what you already were when you didn't have it. So
correct,
he's exactly. Only who he is more with the money that he has. That's it. He's
right.
A regular guy. All of us are. But when you get $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million, and you're a drug addict, you want to be a bigger drug addict. That's
right.
All it is. So that's my point
right.
on the whole thing.
You're absolutely right, Matt. You had something to say, Jerry, before I move on?
No, I mean, I totally agree with the last comment he just said.
Yeah, I agree, too.
Exactly
agree
what
too.
He said. So I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time
Kermit
to
Kermit the Frog comes to Detroit.
Huh?
Kermit the Frog comes to D.C.
I didn't hear that last part. Something to come to D.C.? What about coming to D.C.?
Kermit
RG3.
The Frog comes to D.C.
Kermit
so
the Frog
funny.
Comes to D.C. Kermit the Frog comes to D.C.
I know who he's calling Kermit the Frog. It's all right. At least he ain't going to have a broke arm every week like Matthew Stafford. But anyway.
Hey, that's okay. I'll take Matthew Stafford.
Let's
move it.
Yeah. Why you going to call my man Kermit the
Frog? You know what, Big?
What's up?
You know what, Big?
I swear to God, every time I see him, I hear, Kermit the Frog here.
Stop, Matt. I'm about to mute Matt, dog, for real. What's up, Mike?
You know, I was going to say, you know, I kind of disagree with all, you know, you guys or what Cuban said, but, you know, because I was trying to be quiet because I really want to get to this Redskins thing,
But listening to what Cuban said, I didn't think it was dysfunctional. I thought the guy was really putting out everything that he was thinking and he was feeling about it. I really did. I don't, you know, and there's a lot of things he said that I agree with, you know, and we pretty much, you guys pretty much came back and, you know, confirmed some of the things he said as well, you know. I don't think he's a homophobe, and you know, he said that as much, and I can't stand when they come out and say, you know, you're homophobe, but what a bigger issue is to me, though, what really kind of floored me some more was the fact that did you say that the NBA removed his comment or something?
No, ESPN.
ESPN removed his comment. Yo,
yeah,
that's an even bigger issue to me. I mean, really? I mean, I thought we had freedom of speech.
Censorship, yeah, the censorship issue.
Well, but you got to understand, man, in a world of political correctness, man, that's why I was saying that the only thing I was saying about Mark Cuban being dysfunctional is because, again, let me say this. Black know me. I'm a Christian. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what I'm saying is you can't say on one hand, I don't think he's a homophobe, but what I'm saying is his blog was basically being politically correct, yet saying what he said and saying he didn't care. And what I'm saying to you is that his actions were he did care because he was writing it out, but he was all over
right.
the place with it. I'm not saying he didn't mean what he said. I'm just saying don't lie to me and tell me you don't give a crap when that's what you're doing because you're explaining it. So you do give a crap. I just don't like the political correctness on one hand. Then in the next paragraph, you really tell me, I don't really care what you do. And
I
then
think
you're explaining
I
why you
did
it.
When you were all
but
over
the thing
place.
That I but see, the thing that I got is I didn't get that he was saying that he didn't care about the whole thing. He was just, I think he was saying he didn't care about those particular issues. Those issues, the issue where he said that, you know, I don't give a shit about, you know, your sexuality, your spirituality, whatever you do. You know what I'm saying? And then I accept you how you are. That's what I got from it. I didn't get that he said that I don't give a shit of what you're thinking about this or that or the third. I just thought it was about those particular issues. And it ran the gamut. You know what I mean? And
I think
we could go on all day with this, so I'm just going to leave it alone.
No. Here's the deal. I got a call from 973. Mark Cuban could explain it better because we all took it our own way. I took it both ways actually because it's like, okay, yeah, he's saying one thing, but then he's saying on the other hand, I really don't care what anybody thinks about me or how they feel about me. But you know, I look at people and I try not to judge them, but. You know, I hit a kid in his stomach when I was in the sixth grade because he was a fat kid. And to this day, I feel bad about it. You know,
that man put all his vulnerabilities out and all different things about how he, you know, his shortcomings. He put them out there. That was some real shit. I don't know.
No. I agree with you, but what I'm saying is, here's my thing. This just me. Now, I grew up, y'all might be younger than me, because, I mean, I was a child of the 70s. When we said something, I meant it. I ain't explaining it. That was my number one thing my uncles and my family told me. Don't explain it. What you explaining it for? If you don't care, say it and be done with it. How they take it how they want it. So what I'm saying is if I'm going to say to you, I feel this way, I'm not going to sit there and explain to you why. That's my whole thing. Why explain it if you say you don't care?
I'll put it this way because I want to get off of this, and the Joker says the Velvet Mafia is after Cuban. He's trying to be facetious here. But I think because of his stature in society and his stature in the NBA that he had to come out and say something because you know how David Stern is with finding people or whatever, and finding Cuban specifically, even though the comment was not really a bad one because it brought a bad light to the NBA, it was some type of issue, even though it wasn't even that harsh. It wasn't that harsh. But let me bring in this call from 973 And we're going to talk about him. And Matt, you better not call my boy Criminal Frog no more. But we're going to get to it.
I'm sorry.
It's all right, brother. It's all right. Hold on. All right, call from the 973. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please state your name and welcome to the show.
This is Jeff the Joker. You don't recognize my area code?
Hey, Jeff, you don't call in no more on Saturdays.
I know, but I work late nights, so I sleep during the day. But I wanted to call to touch base and wish you well. And I've been listening to this talk about Cuban. And the thing is, there's still free speech, but, you know, when you're representing your team or your league or whatever, there's boundaries on that, unfortunately. And like everything else, PGA is a business. So, now, the thing is, I thought Mark Cuban was smarter than to make those kind of comments. And, you know, he's got a right to his opinion. I can't disagree with it. But, you know, when you're famous like he is and wealthy, you got to be careful what you say. And, you know, years ago, an ex-girlfriend and my mom and my sister, they got on my case and they said, oh, you know, you're homophobic, you're homophobic. And that was not the case. These were people who were close to me, so I was going to express my true opinion as opposed to casual acquaintances when you're not going to say stuff. And they interpreted some things I said as being homophobic, and they weren't. I'm just being honest, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
But that's the kind of climate we live in.
Well, you know, we all took something different from it. I would love to have Mark Cuban on the show, and so he didn't say, F everybody, you know, I own the Dallas Mavericks, you don't. I won an NBA title, and, you know, I'm not apologetic, but, you know, this is what happened, and if you can take it for what it's worth, I think that's what it is. But right now, and Jeff, if you want to stay on, because, you know, I still miss you. I listen to y'all on Thursday. I'm going to kick you in the face, but I still love you. Because y'all didn't talk about the brackets. Y'all did not talk about the brackets. But anyway.
We had a very good conversation for an hour, a little more than an hour ago.
I know.
I lost track of talking about the brackets. I apologize.
It's all right. You ain't going to win it anyway. But let me do this while I got everybody thinking. And we're not on the subject of Jeff Fisher's vaginal ease or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, Family Sports and Politics has a bracket system set up for the March Madness tournament. I'm giving away a $25 or $50 Visa gift card to the winner. It's free to enter. Just go to Yahoo. Just go to Yahoo, look up Fantasy Sports and Politics under their bracket system, or you can look up Kansas, and you'll see Fantasy Sports and Politics. Join it and fill your brackets out. I give you two opportunities, not one, but two opportunities to win in this bracket system. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Again, go to Yahoo, look up Yahoo Sports under the brackets. Look up Fantasy Sports and Politics, join it, and we'll have some fun. I'm giving away something for free. All I want you to do is have a good time. Now, let's find Miss Piggy. Yeah,
Vic,
what's up?
Vic, before you go there, can I do something for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a minute.
All right, Jerry got to play some old-time music.
Having to spend each day is our color of the week.
Oh, you mother.
I think it would be nicer in red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that.
I thought it was going to be the Rainbow Connection.
Oh, my God.
Someday you'll find it.
Jerry, stop. I'm going to mute you. You know what? You are just so wrong, dog. Thank you, Matt, for getting Jerry started. You know, when you said that, Matt,
with the order of the Redskins.
Jerry, I'm going to mute you. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You're just so wrong. It's like old time radio. That's why you're old time radio. All right, listen, I got some sound bites.
Hey, Vic, Vic, before you jump into that, let me give props since we got my man Mac on the air. Mac is single-handedly responsible for all your interviews that you got this year during the Goodman League, as far as Brandon Jennings and Grievous Vance
yes.
with all props.
I had to give a big up for that.
Yeah, thanks, Mac.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I appreciate that. I'll take the time to let you guys know we're going to get started this year on June 4th down at Berry Farm. I ain't going to say too much, but my team, my coach, Lincoln Park, is the champions this year. We do have a target on our back. And, you know, I'll take the time to say, all comers, bring your best, baby, because we only got seven dudes deep, and we better pack a lunch pail and some boots because we're going to win it. And then that indoor league will start, I'm not mistaken, the 16th. We finished in second place. KD and them cheated and jumped all and gathered all together and beat us by 14 points.
Very terrible.
But that's all right, though, but he made up for it because he played with us outdoors all the way through the championship and we won the chip. So, like I said, we'll be out there. Dante Green will be with us from the Sacramento Kings. So you have to let me know during the summer if you guys want to interview him. I have talked to Jason Thompson. I have talked to Tyreke Evans. I have talked to Isaiah Thomas. And they have said, I don't know for sure, but they have said they are going to come and play on my team indoor. If they do, I will announce it here. And we're going to be a stack mob. We're going to be a problem.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, listen, you got a couple New Yorkers on the line. They might not want Isaiah Thomas on the line, bro. They might try to kill him. I try to kill him over the phone.
Nah. We're not talking about Isaiah Thomas, the CEO of the one CEO of the NBA Knicks.
We're talking about the young one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, you're bringing Isaiah out of retirement, something up. But
are you serious? Dude, you know how that would be a miracle. Are you serious?
Miracles can happen. They can happen in you. We got Kermit the Frog.
With so many other
yeah, that's
important.
Oh, you can't go with this. Jerry. Stop it.
Hey.
All right, let's go to these interviews. I mean, these sound bites.
Wow.
I'm going to let you boys have at it. Here's Adam Schefter on how many teams were in the talks to trade up to the second pick.
The reason it came together yesterday afternoon, late in the day, is that the Cleveland Browns all of a sudden wanted to try to make a deal for that number two pick as well. The Miami Dolphins even inquired about the pick and could not get the deal done because the Rams were able to put together a deal and an agreement with the Washington Redskins that will be processed on Tuesday that will give the Redskins the second overall pick in the draft and give the Rams a bounty of picks by moving back four slots in the draft.
So, you know, there were Miami, Cleveland, and Washington in the mix. Washington gave up three first-round draft picks and a second-round pick. This year's draft pick gets swapped. And then 2013 and 2014 first-round picks are now property of the St. Louis Rams. There are two more sound bites I'm going to play. Kevin Sheehan from, it was called back then Sports Talk 980, but now it's ESPN 980, commenting on the Redskins needed to make this trade. Here's the first sound bite.
They've got to get speed. They've got to get playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. They have one now, quarterback, which they have not had, which, you know, I would certainly guess that just his extend-the-play ability is going to make guys like Jabbar Gaffney and Santana Moss and hopefully Leonard Hankerson, who they really liked before he got hurt last year, you know, Chris Cooley, Fred Davis when he comes back.
Also, you know, they're still in the market for a receiver. Alshon Jeffries, Floyd, is in there. They still have a second-round pick, and they still have a third-round pick this year. But here's Kevin Sheehan on them, possibly even still going after Peyton Manning.
Not necessarily, but they do need a veteran quarterback. I don't think they're going to re-sign Rex. I think they've seen enough of that. And John Beck, you know, essentially they conceded three games by starting him last year. He's not an NFL-caliber quarterback at this point.
So, in the interview process, we saw in the interview with Steve Mariucci
that RG3 said if he was on the same team as Peyton Manning, he would gladly hold the clipboard. Do the Redskins, and Michael, I know you got the strongest feelings on this, Mr. Occupy FedEx Field, do the Redskins actually stand a chance at getting Peyton Manning now that they've done all this stuff with RG3? Now, granted, Daniel Snyder's not Jim Irsay. He wouldn't mind putting all that money into two quarterbacks. The draft has set it up that RG3 will only get between $24 and $30 million this year. I mean, and it's on a 4 or 5 year contract. So that's not bad. That's maybe $4 or $5 million a year for a rookie quarterback. Whereas he can give Peyton $7 to $8 million. Is that something that could happen, Michael?
Yeah, it's possible that it could happen, you know, and they've really been talking about it a lot down here, you know, because, you know, the D.C. fan base, we greedy and we jive spoiled on getting what we want.
Obnoxious.
Yeah, it's been very obnoxious. Agreed. I really don't think that they're going to get Peyton Manning, but it's not out of the possibility realm because there was some talk about Shanahan, you know, having, you know, success with veteran quarterbacks and, you know, and quarterbacks at the end of their careers and da-da-da-da, and it all kind of makes sense that he would go after Manning. They do have the cap space. They can make this deal for RG3. I wouldn't be so against it because they've gotten who I thought they should get, which was RG3. But I don't see RG3 sitting back behind Peyton Manning for 3 years. I don't see that happening. So, but I don't think they're going to do it.
I know he had neck surgery, but he did not have head surgery. There's absolutely no chance in hell.
Exactly.
You will see Peyton Manning in the Redskins pocket.
Exactly.
Thank you. That's why they did what they did yesterday. That's why they went and made the deal to go get RG3, because if they thought they could have got Peyton, they wouldn't have went after him. They'd have went after Peyton, did the deal, and they would have lived with that for 3 years because they could have waited to see who the next quarterback was. But when they knew that wasn't going to happen, these dudes are the same guys that just drafted their first offensive lineman in 10 damn years last year.
Well, here's the deal. I'm in this group called Sports Aholics Anonymous, and I brought up this issue because somebody, I think my cousin Mike had said this as well, and I like to play devil's advocate a lot. Let's say, for argument's sake, not saying it's going to happen, let's say for argument's sake, this is more of a power move to get more picks out of Miami or Cleveland by the Redskins. Let's just say for sake of argument that's the case. And all along, you know, Shanahan wants to get Tannehill because he thinks he can take a nobody, turn him into somebody. Or they want to get Brandon Whedon, or they want to get Matt Flynn, right? Let's say, for argument's sake, that the Redskins did not get this pick just to get RG3. They used it to trade. They want to use it as leverage to get 2 first-round picks this year. Is that something that anybody on the line sees Daniel Snyder doing? Because, again, last time the Redskins moved up this far in the draft and gave up so much, we got LeVar Arrington as well as Chris Samuels in a deal. And
You are driving me crazy now.
Wait a minute. And the last time they had 2 first-round picks and did a similar move, they got Carlos Rogers and Jason Campbell.
I thought me
and Mikhail talked to your doctor and we got your doses taken down, man. What is going on?
You are lunching. I'm gonna tell you why you're lunching. First off, that LeVar Arrington and Chris Samuels pick, that was a move set up by Charlie Cassidy the year before. So it really wasn't a move up. They traded picks to get. I think it was the Saints or whatever. I'm not sure.
No.
We did not move up that year. So please stop that.
Yeah, we did.
That's crazy.
Because we had.
No,
the,
we did not move.
Yes, we did.
We had those picks.
Oh my God. No, you did not.
Those
the Redskins,
picks were, dude.
That was 1 and 2.
Dude,
the Redskins did not have the 1 and 2 picks.
Dude, you the same dude. You the same dude last week. Last week, you the same dude that was going here last week talking about Matt Brown was reporting something about the Redskins, and I corrected you twice.
It was Matt Bowen. It was Matt Bowen.
Yeah, and I corrected you twice. So you don't know nothing about the Skins, Slim.
Shut up.
I keep telling you that I'm going to send you a soul package to Germany because you need it. Slim,
I need
you
my coach
so good, it don't make
hey,
no
Jeff,
sense.
I need my kosher pack. Give me my kosher pack, Jeff.
No,
this is what I'm
saying. Let's get along, Corey. Everybody's all here. Let's all be nice to each other.
Who's doing that?
You know what? Y'all are ridiculous. Y'all are ridiculous. But I want you to look it up, Mike.
Who's
doing that one? You're going to come and apologize next week. I'm not going to be on the show next week, by the way, because I got neck surgery, so it's Jerry's show next week.
Man,
but,
make sure you get hand surgery as well.
It's
going to
be a sensible show next week.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a sensible show next week. I'm calling in next week. I'll be the first one to call next week.
So here's what I want to know. Silence. Here's what I want to know. I'm going to go Mike.
Okay.
I want you to listen up. I'm going to go Black. I'm going to go Mac. Jeff and Jerry on this, and Mike, you can jump in at the end if you want, but you just gave your thoughts. Was this a smart move for the Redskins, and did they give up too much? I'm going to go to the Dallas Cowboy fan first and get the answer. Go ahead.
I didn't know Jeff Fisher and the Rams were in the business of raping people, but I see that they are in the business of raping people. They raped your franchise. That's what I'm calling them. Three number ones and two number twos for unproven guys, too much. I hope it works out, but this is ultimately a move by Daniel Snyder since he's losing fans to get those fans back in the seats in FedEx Field.
All right. Mac, what you got?
Only thing I'll say is I think it's more the same of what it's always been. I think the move is great from a football standpoint if the Redskins were really not a dysfunctional ass team. But I think you got an owner who cares about putting butts in the seats. He spends all this money and everybody gets excited since we had the last time the Redskins won we was doing Jerry Curl. So,
94.
No, but I'm just saying, the dude does all this, and every year they get let down. My only problem is, I'd probably be happy for Redskins if the Redskins fans were really humble type people who just,
exactly.
And your owner was the type that just did it through the draft and was like, just be patient. What I don't understand about the Redskins is, and a lot of other teams, but the Redskins especially. How can you sit and watch a team like the Steelers every damn year be in the running, never do big crazy stuff and win, and yet you keep trying to buy it, chip it, grab it, snatch it, steal it, and you can't get nowhere? I don't understand why you don't copy the guys who keep doing it every year. No matter what they turn out, the Steelers are in it every dang on year. Every year. And they don't do this kind of stuff. So what I think is going to end up being a Doug Williams thing. They're going to love him here in Chocolate City. They're going to admire him and all that. And I think in the end, he won't leave in 3 to 4 years and go somewhere else and do what he always does. Because your ownership has no patience. The people here are obnoxious when they get somebody and throw it in your face. They believe in fairy tales. Every time they win something, we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm so sick of that
shit. Really
I'm sorry. I'm so sick of it.
Oh, don't worry. I got
him.
You don't even know who you're on the line with.
If I hear one more person say we're going to the playoffs or we're going to the Super Bowl, I'm going to throw up in their face. I'm just so sick of it. I do. Still. And you, look. And just one last thing. You're getting this from a Detroit Lions fan who hasn't won since God created the earth. So if I can be patient, and humble, I don't, like I said, Black know me. Black, I don't be on there talking trash about my team. What
you
I do?
Sure
we'll see. Not the fans here. God damn it, we're going to Super Bowl. We're going to kick everybody's ass. We're going to win. And then every year, they get mad and say y'all hating because we're looking at them, laughing at them, going like, you idiot, you got dubbed again. So, I mean, if y'all had a functional, my answer is short is, if you guys had a functional, real front office with a real owner who gave a damn and an organization that was solid and really wanted to win for the fan base, not for themselves and make money, I think it would be a great move, an excellent move, because you know he put pieces with it together. All he's going to do is duct tape, sell a bunch of stuff, and that's it.
I can agree with a little bit of that.
I can't agree with none of that.
I saved you for last, Michael. I saved you for last. Go ahead, Jeff. What you got?
Those are some insightful thoughts. You know, I was reflecting on Daniel Snyder's tenure as owner of the Redskins, and it seems like he's evolved. He used to overpay for past performance, and then he started overpaying for future performance, and now he might be overpaying for draft picks. But I like RG3. I think he's the real deal.
Absolutely.
And he seems to have a good head on his shoulders, because the only thing more pressure than being a high pick is when a team gives up a chunk to get that high pick. And not everybody could take that pressure. But, I mean, this guy's worth taking a chance on. And I'm glad with the collective bargaining agreement that teams now want to trade up for high picks, because for a long time that wasn't happening. And that's, you know, what the good teams – well, the Redskins aren't really a good team, but that's what the good teams had 2 years ago. They had to trade up to get picks. When I was a kid – Dallas is one of the best teams in the league. How do you think they got Tony Dorsett? They had to trade up to get that pick, you know?
Thank you.
But that was a solid organization, though.
Well, come on. Let the man finish.
I know. Yeah, you had your turn. I'm going to get you. You know, it's coming.
You're
coming.
Go ahead. I can see that now. Okay.
Well,
All right. That's
about it. It's been real. I got to go, guys. I'll catch you later.
All right, Jeff.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care, Jeff.
All right, Jerry, ATM, let's go.
All right. You got Daniel Snyder, Mike Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan. They get in the room. They make this deal.
Your neighbor saw your front door open. They called it in.
It appears I've been robbed.
Are you doing
it? Appears they've been robbed. It appears they have been robbed.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe they gave up 3 number one draft picks and a number 2. That's unheard of for a future upside player that hasn't proven himself only at the college level. Now I love the hell out of RG3, but 3 number ones and the 2. I think Jimmy Johnson did a fleece job like this years back. You got
to
be kidding me.
He did it to Minnesota.
You got to be kidding me. This guy's going to have so much pressure, and you Skins fans are going to be all over this guy the first time he screws up, because he's supposed to be the savior for the Washington Redskins. And I don't trust your coaching staff. I really do not trust this coaching staff to do a solid job of coaching this quarterback, especially the offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan. I have no faith in him whatsoever. I never have. I thought it was just simply nepotism, and
I
can't believe that he's going to be coaching RG3. This kid's got a lot of potential, and I sure hope he doesn't screw him up. That's all I can say. I like this kid a lot. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's got a lot of ability. And he just needed to transform it to the NFL level, and I hope they don't screw it up.
All right.
Can I ask one question?
What's up, Matt?
I just want to ask one question, and I'm going to prove my point with this question. If if the Steelers moved up and did the same move and they had RG3, would you guys think it was okay for them?
I'll answer this one, guys. I think if the Steelers, because of the way they develop their talent and stuff like that, it will be uncharacteristic, and I think a lot of people will be very
bewildered by it. Now, I'm going to let my cousin get in here real quick, but I'll tell you this. I have a lot of points I'm going to try to touch upon, but your question is part of what I'm going to say. So I'm going to reserve my answer for that. But, Michael, the floor is yours, and then I'm going to jump in after you.
First off, I would like to ask, name one young quarterback that Shanahan has messed over. Okay, thank you. Next, Hold on, Slim. You had the chance, and you asked another question before me, Slim. I was real patient. You know what I'm saying? I was real patient and real cool. Now the floor is mine. Ain't no hold on. Hold on. Your team is being run by a Washington Redskin. Don't forget that. Please don't. Thank you.
Martin Mayhew. Martin Mayhew is a former Washington Redskin.
Yeah, go look it up. And get your stuff together before you even come at me with that nonsense.
Secondly, guys, let's keep it. Martin Mayhew is a former Washington Redskin. He was a cornerback. He was a cornerback with Darryl Green and the Washington Redskins in their Super Bowl victory over Buffalo. And I think he was in 92 as well. So, he was a former Washington Redskins.
It gives a lot of credit, too, Joe Gibbs and Bobby Bethard. But we're not going to get into all that.
Second of all, this move that
they've made really lets me know, alarmingly, that Daniel Snyder had nothing to do with this. This is a good calculated football move. I think that they did overpay. I do believe that they overpaid, but the Redskins have had just wholesale change. We've gotten rid of all the drama. We've gotten rid of all the problems, all the nonsense.
Wow.
Everything has been cleaned out. Now he's at the bottom base. He's at the bottom. Hold on, we're at the bottom basement now. It's nowhere to go but up. Uptick or anything. It's no going down. We had two terrible quarterbacks running the offense last year. You know what I mean? Where do you need to start to build the offense at? You should have started at the quarterback. And
Let him finish.
Black, let him finish. Let him get his stuff.
I think this is a good calculated football move. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know what's going to happen. But I do believe that Shanahan has a good track record with quarterbacks. He's an arrogant bastard. You know, I don't like that part about him. But he has had some success with quarterbacks. Yeah, Elway, Steve Young, Brahma. Yeah, really.
He came at the tail end of his career and got two off Elway, but he nurtured
first
it
off,
from
first
the beginning.
First off, you need to check your history and know that Shanahan was running an offense at Denver when he first came into Denver. Check that.
You need to check that, Slim.
You need to check your stats and know what you're doing.
Yes, I do. Know what you're talking about.
Fellas. For the most part, you've thrown out none but a bunch of like fillings and things like
Mike.
That. Nah, man, you ain't thrown out no facts.
Mike and Mac, let me get mine out, and then I'm a try to close the show and let y'all argue in overtime, okay? Let me get mine out, and I'll let y'all go at it in overtime. Seems like it's going to be a heated debate, but we're going to leave as friends, as always.
It'll be heated fellowship.
Jerry Curl. All
right, listen.
Dude, a Jerry Curl.
Listen. All right, fellas, here's my thought process on the trade, and I'm going to try to keep it brief, but it's food for thought. I believe the Redskins, if they pick RG3, they better have a plan to fill in if they don't re-sign London Fletcher at linebacker. They need a new strong safety because Laron Landry's not going to return. They need to fix if Rocky McIntosh is going to be a middle linebacker, he needs to play like one instead of an outside linebacker. They need another
receiver that's a big guy, because all we have are small guys. We need a big receiver to catch the ball. And if they are going to get rid of Chris Cooley, fine. That means Mr. Davis, he needs to step up and be a leader on that offense. And, I mean, I would even go out and get Dallas Clark if I could, just to get a veteran leader on that team that can still do it.
How would you get Dallas Clark?
The reason why I would get Dallas Clark is because
you just put a franchise tag on Fred Davis.
Can I finish?
Yeah.
I said if they're going to do something to help out RG3, because Fred Davis is not that guy to be your number one tight end to get a young quarterback coming into the league security. You need an established, well-versed tight end, not somebody that's going to smoke weed and get popped and have to give up the last couple games of the season because
we still bring that. They don't think that. They ain't thinking that way, Slim. They franchise them, yo.
I know that. But that's what I'm saying. There is no if Santana Moss is the most veteran leader on the offensive side of the ball, Santana even throws when the ball goes into the ground or if he's overthrown or whatever. You need somebody that's going to at least have a little calming effect on that offensive side of the ball. Right now, they're very young on the offensive side of the ball. You put a young quarterback in there, they're going to grow together, but there's going to be no calm sense there with a offensive coordinator that with a lead, decides to throw the ball 20 times in the second half, causing the team to lose with a bad quarterback. You know, there is no common sense there on the offensive side of the ball. I agree with half of what both of you guys were saying. RG3 is needed in D.C., but RG3 will not be coached the way he needs to be coached to be successful in the NFL.
Thank you.
If Shanahan is the coordinator, because Shanahan
really
wants to throw the ball.
Oh, my God.
He wants to throw the ball and not run.
Redskins fans tell this fairy tale every fucking year.
Listen, I ain't tell no motherfucking fairy tale.
In the first round and the second round of the draft this year.
Yeah, that's a fairy tale.
That
you
is
might
a,
not
Mac,
have.
Mac, that is a fairy tale.
You might not have. You might not have a lot of talent next year, other than Barkley. But my point is, I would not put it past the Redskins to do that. But if RG3 comes to DC, he will have that Doug Williams effect. He will have that Doug Williams effect. The only problem is,
yeah.
Will he have the supporting cast and the faith of the organization for the long term in order to get it done? That's
Slim,
the bottom line on that.
One move at a time, Slim. One
I
move at
you.
A time.
I got you. But
you ain't
going to
put it all together
picks?
At this draft and this free agency.
No.
If they do that, then they will be doing the same dumb stuff that they've been doing for years and years.
But, Mike,
no.
Mike, here's, here's the last one I'm going to say.
I don't know why you have so much faith in Daniel Snyder,
who's
here's a
the last
businessman.
Thing I'm
going to
say.
I told, like I told you, like I told you, this move, like I prefaced it, I said this move speaks alarmingly that Daniel Snyder has nothing to do with it.
I love you, Mike, but I got to mute you. I'm trying to get this out here, boys. You and Mac are trying to take over. I'm gonna get you. It's gonna be the Mac and Mike show in a minute. All right, jeez. All right, so here's all I'm saying. This is all I'm saying on the matter. I really
it's
feel
not
as though.
Easy.
Oh, God. Okay, all I'm saying is this. RG3 is a very, very talented quarterback. He can do the job given the proper circumstances. They overpaid, in my opinion, to get the overpaid to get him, but if he delivers, the Redskins could be contenders, if not a Super Bowl team within the next 5 years. But they got to develop. And the Redskins have not kept a second or third round pick on their roster other than Fred Davis in the past 5 to 6 years. So
can I take that bet right now? I'll take that bet right now. You will not be Super Bowl contenders in 5 years.
Can I finish?
I'll take that bet.
Oh, my God. The bottom line is if they develop their talent, if they develop the talent around RG3, they have a shot because the kid is phenomenal.
He's a better
quarterback than Michael Vick was coming out of college, and he's another version of the growing and fast-running quarterback. That's all I'm going to say about that. Now, on Saturday, I'm going to kill you guys. On Saturday, we do Fantasy Sports and Politics. This show right here. Next Saturday, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in the hospital recovering. And my boys, Jeff Black and Jerry, are going to be holding it down. If Mike calls in, Matt calls in, we're going to have to probably censor him because he like calls in trouble. Every time Matt's on the line, he's yelling or cursing at somebody, whether it's from the boys out L.A. or whatever. I don't know, but we got to do something with Matt. Get my cousin all upset. That's
your
that
cousin,
was awesome.
You know what? I love your cousin because he is the epitome of a Redskin fan. The only difference
Lord.
Is
the epitome
the
of a Redskin fan?
No, I will give him. Let me explain what that is. The one thing I do like about him that's different than most Redskins fans that I respect about him is at least he comes with facts a little bit. The rest of the Redskins fans, they run out in the middle of freaking Pennsylvania Avenue and be like, "We got RG3. Football." I mean, it's just ridiculous. At least he's saying they have to move slowly.
Yeah.
But I don't trust a guy. Who is a guy who buys businesses and sells tickets and in that business? I just don't trust him because ever since he's been here,
neither do I. But what I said to you is this move screams that he had nothing to do with this. Because if it was him, I'm gonna tell you right now, Peyton Manning would be at the would be at FedEx Field tossing the ball around, Slim. If it was him, straight up.
But here's what you don't understand. I don't think that you're right about that. In fact, I know you're not right because there's no way a guy as intelligent as Peyton Manning and as astute as he is would go to a team and run for his fucking life.
I don't care what.
I mean, no. We.
To get my next
I mean,
book.
But no, we you shipped him back to Manning. We were talking about Daniel Snyder. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying he couldn't. But I'm talking about Daniel Snyder too. You can't get a guy to come to your team when you don't have nothing to offer. And you have an offensive line that's shaky.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
The guy run for his life for a year.
But my only point was that if Daniel Snyder was at the helm, was at the helm, that he would go out and get the biggest free agent out there. He was Flash. He was Flash.
Right.
This is a risky football move. It's not no risky fantasy football player move. It's not.
Okay.
It's a difference.
Now,
what you just did
was a Flash. What did y'all do last year?
No,
what we just did
was a very risky football move. You know what I'm saying? It's a very risky football move. It's different.
Okay.
It's totally different.
I got to promo the shows. Can I promo the shows? I'm gonna let y'all go.
I'm sorry. 6-10 really gets me bothered.
Mac, we don't apologize, man.
Hey Black. What's the Lions record this year? What's the Lions record this year, Black?
Oh, the Lions.
What's the Redskins record?
Oh, I called it in preseason before they even played 5-11.
And they 6-10, right? They 6-10, right?
Green the course, spring.
Right.
Oh my God.
You really think that I care who's running my team? I could care if it was a green or black man. I don't care. We winning.
All right, listen. On Sundays, we've got the master plan with Jerry. Hopefully he doesn't play all that Kermit the Frog stuff tomorrow.
That's my opening
Jerry.
Song.
What you got on, Jerry?
Put it tomorrow because that will be my opening song.
Oh, my God. Don't play it again. I'm going to
you
got to
play the Rainbow Connection for the opening song, dog. You got to.
Oh, God. Who's bringing into somebody's car? What the hell? All right. On Sunday, we got the master plan. Jerry, what do you talk about on the master plan tomorrow?
Tune in to find out.
Okay.
Tune in to find out. It could be anything. I'm going to be talking a little bit about RG3. I tell you that right now. So.
I can see that. Then on Tuesdays, we've got Kim Fun with Compassion.
Don't have a bitter, angry Redskin fan on your show, though.
Oh, Lord, stop it. Stop it, Matt. Stop it. On Tuesdays, we got Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. Now, this is Kim's last show before she goes to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. So tune in. She's going to talk about the climb she's going to take, and she's going to come back in 2 weeks and talk about it and bring in a couple more guests. She's working on a couple more guests. But it's a very good show. It's a total departure from the sports and talk that we have here right now. It's more of a feeling type show, but it's a very good show.
I'll be calling you on the show, too.
Not a bitter, angry show.
Oh, Lord. Mac, you going to
do I'll be Vic, I'll be calling in on that show.
Correct. This Tuesday is supposed to be myself, Black, and Jerry on the show talking to Kim about different things and the whole FSP brand and all that. So we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also going to talk about Mount Kilimanjaro and how she's going to climb it. Then on Wednesdays, you have Grown Soul and Real Talk with my cousin Mike. Mike, what's happening this week?
We're going to be talking about contraception.
Bitterness.
Contraception.
Anger.
So, Mac, shut up, dog. He's just a troublemaker, man.
No, he ain't a troublemaker. He's not no troublemaker. He a little youngin'.
Oh, God.
Keep it real.
Here we go.
Huggy Lowdown calling me youngin'.
Oh, Lord. So on Thursdays, the day I'm having my surgery, my boys, Jeff Black and Jerry, will be doing...
Bracketology, show. Man. Bracketology. March Madness, Thursday. March Madness.
Yes, March Madness.
And good
begins,
luck to you,
man. I believe we're going to talk about it. Also, thanks for bringing that back up, Black. It's not too late to get into the Fantasy Sports and Politics brackets. Again, go to yahoo.com, look up their bracket system, and when you go in there, look for Fantasy Sports and Politics. If it's hard to find that way, look up the school Kansas, and you should be able to see Fantasy Sports and Politics there. Join it. I'm giving away a $25 or $50 gift card, a Visa gift card to the winner. Hopefully it'll be me. The catch is this year, I'm giving you two opportunities to play. Not just one bracket. You get two brackets. If you only want to use one, that's fine. But I'm giving you two. Also, fantasy baseball is right around the corner. Next Sunday, hopefully I'll be able to sit up from the hospital bed and do the draft. But Jerry's in the league. I'm paying half of it since I lost the bet. But we're going to do fantasy baseball, and we're going to probably switch the master plan to cover that draft, Jerry, because I can't – well, I don't know. I'll talk to you about it later on. But we're going to have the fantasy draft on the 18th and do some fantasy baseball that way. So, again, this FSP brand, we're growing, we're strong, and I want to thank everybody for – tuning in. Now I'm going to let each individual here, I'm going to do it this way, so there are no interruptions. If you interrupt, you forfeit your time. I'm just going to put it that way. Each individual, give their parting shot. I'm going to go in this order. You get 2 minutes. 2 minutes, that's it. You got Black, you got Mac, you got Mike, Jerry. Go at it.
Well, I've just received a text message from Vivid Entertainment, and they're telling me that the Jeff Fisher and Daniel Snyder sex tape will be available soon.
Oh, my God. Is that all you got?
That's all I have.
Oh, my God. Get your Vaseline, boy. All right. Go ahead, Mac.
All I say is that, you know, Redskin fans need to go to church and have some anger management classes and frustration classes and learn how to get along with other people in the sandbox. It doesn't matter who's running my team. I could care who it is because our record is better than the Redskins. They freaking suck. And I hope they on our schedule because I want to check that O-line because we're going to bend that Baylor Bear up and we're going to smack y'all just like we did the last 2 years. I know you over there heated.
No, I'm not heated.
I'm not going to give you a chance to hear you.
You're interrupted.
All right.
Yes, he interrupted. He forfeited his chance.
No, he didn't. That was me.
That was me.
Go ahead. All right, go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead. No, excuse me. Did I say Mike? Mike, then Jerry.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Redskins for life. And I want to say I'll be tuning in to Thanksgiving to see the usual Lions get their ass whooped. Thank you.
Are you done, Mike?
I love that dude.
Yeah, I'm done.
Alright, Jerry.
It's like a little season.
Go ahead, Jerry.
It's not that easy. Having to spend these days on color blue. When I think it could be nicer.
You ruined it. Every time I see that dude, I'm gonna sing that damn song. On behalf of
Matt, Mike, Black, and Vic, and myself, and also Kermit the Frog, aka RG3, tune in tomorrow as we converse face to face with Kermit the Frog. and ask him what he thinks about his move going to the D.C. area.
I don't like Willie Taft in Washington. I don't like Willie Taft in Washington, D.C. I don't even like Angry Redskins fans.
Oh, my God. Are you done? Are you done?
Bothered. Can't we just get along? They will find it. The rainbow connection.
Oh, my God.
The tumor and the angry Redskin fan.
Stop.
I can't take it.
Your 2 minutes are up. Your 2 minutes are up. Jesus. All right, guys. My last thing is this. I'm going into this surgery. Thank you. It's going to be a long one. It's going to be a long one. So I'm asking that everybody just pray and just keep my family in mind. I think I'll be okay. And, recovery is going to be a long recovery. But things like shows like today, get me good.
Hold on. What I want to know is will you be re-signed to FSP? Or will you go to Grown Soul and Real Talk? I don't know. You might get re-signed to Grown Soul and Real Talk. But there's a possibility that you might not be able to run your show anymore. I don't know. I gotta see what the doctors say.
Whatever. I'm gonna run my show. I won't be able to talk. I won't be able to talk for a couple weeks normally, but I'll be on the show after this Saturday. But basically, what I want to say is this: I love doing this. I really do. So shows like today, they get me pumped, they get me amped. I get to mute people. I didn't get to boo I should have booed Mac like 20 times, but I didn't because he's trying to get us the superstars from the Goodman League and all them folks coming on us on the show. But I got to keep it. I got to, you know. Yeah, pile of tricking. That's exactly right. I got a pile of trick. But next time, Mac don't get a pass when he talk about my Redskins, because I'm a diehard Redskins. I'm one of them. I'm on Marion Barry's she set me up type stuff when it comes to my Redskins. But I will say this.
The bitch set me up.
Oh, God. But I will say this. Everybody that listens to this show, if you are not entertained, something is wrong with you. I'm going to pull a Mark Cuban. I really don't care what you think. But this show and these group of guys, they keep me going. They're an extended part of my family. And I'm very thankful that I have all types of people in my corner as I do and go out and try to do things that I do. I mean, a radio station is what I want next, but we'll see what happens. God gives me everything I need, and I continue to flourish with what he gives me. So I'm very thankful for that. But with that said, it's time to get off the air, so I need Jerry to take me out. You know what I need you to do, Jerry? Hey, I want to thank Mac, the Asian assassin, a.k.a. Deep Throat, for coming on saying stupid stuff. I want to thank Ricky for coming on being a jackass. I want to thank Black, Jeff, Mike, and Jerry. You know what I need you to do, Jerry. Let's go.
You and also Kermit the Frog.
Oh,
you've
my
been
God.
Listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.